Well, welcome to Truth Talk. This is your host, Larry Bryant, and the truth is out there. If you seek it, you will find it. Yeah. In today's world, sometimes, you know, we're an instant society. You know, we microwave, you know, throw something in and get it out real quick, or, you know, you want to answer to something and you just quickly look up on your phone and stuff. And, you know, those are all good things, but sometimes to really get at the heart of something, to really get the real meat of it, you know, you need to dig a little bit. You need to seek, you know, you need to search. And by putting in that time and effort of searching, you know, you are gathering information and stuff, but you're also, you know, you're sort of kneading your heart there a little bit. You know, you're exercising it, and you're preparing it to actually receive some stuff if you'll spend a little bit of time actually looking and seeking and trying to find things. So part of it is the journey, or a big part of it is the journey, just as much as finding the correct answer that you're looking for. So, you know, in today, we're going to get in and we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And in my Bible here, using a Patriot Bible, New King James Version, and of course they give different headings to chapters and different parts of chapters, and it says, "Be sensitive to conscience." Yeah, we do need to be sensitive to our own conscience. You know, the Holy Spirit talks to us all the time. We need to listen. We need to learn to, you know, clean our spiritual ears a little bit, so that we can hear what God is telling us. And the main thing is to always walk in love. You know, that should be our goal. You know, if there's, you know, a question of this or that, then take the love approach. You know, and you'll be much better off. The other person will be much better off. The world will be much better off if we do that. And so it sort of talks about that sort of indirectly here in chapter 8 of 1 Corinthians. And, you know, let me set the stage here a little bit. Here it's talking about doing things that might be permissible, but might be a stumbling block for other people. And, you know, so if you act in love, you might not do some things that it may be okay for you to do, but especially if you're with this person or around this person or whatever else, that might be a good time to refrain from doing that because of where they're at. Here it talks about, it's in the town of Corinth, and Corinthians, of course, and of course, not everyone is Christians there. You know, we still have the idol temples, and one of the things that is going on is that the priests of those idol temples, you know, they take sacrifices and they sacrifice animals, and so that's a lot of animals being sacrificed. Where they keep part of that meat for themselves, but then they sell that meat, you know, they sell that to the wholesaler, so to speak, and then that guy, you know, sells that meat out at the market. But it was an animal that was sacrificed to the idols. And so let's get in here and we'll read it a few verses of chapter 8, and then we'll come back and make some comments. But it says, "Now, concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge, and knowledge puffs up, but love edifies." Yeah, Sheila, let's pause and think on verse 1 just a little bit. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Love edifies. And I've been in the education business for a lifetime, a long time. You're teaching knowledge. You know, you're giving students knowledge. Well, yes, but what you hopefully are trying to do is build wisdom in your students, you know, where they can take knowledge and they can dissect it. They can discern, you know, what's true and what's not true, because there's a lot of knowledge. You know, there's more knowledge available right now in the world than at any time in the world. But it seems like, you know, we're getting dumber. You know, there's not as much common sense. There's not as much of a lot of things that we might consider good. You know, there's a lot of foolishness going on. Well, you know, what we want is wisdom. But, you know, when you have wisdom, you're going to have some knowledge. You know, it's kind of hard to have a lot of wisdom without having some knowledge. But, you know, you can have a whole lot of knowledge about something and as the old boy said, be, you know, dumb as a box of rocks. You know, you know, knowledge and wisdom aren't necessarily the same thing. Think of it this way. Have you ever seen someone or have you known someone that just full of themselves? They think they already know it all. It's kind of hard to teach somebody something if they think they already know it all. You know, if you're an athlete, you know, and you're a coach and you've got this real good player, you know, and he comes in and yeah, his skills might be above everyone else on the team. But if he thinks that he's already arrived, you know, then he's not going to get a whole lot better. You know, you can't really teach him a whole lot. You need to stay humble. You know, even if you know a whole lot, and hopefully we all want to learn, we all want to be knowledgeable. But the key is to be humble in your knowledge. You know, don't get so full of yourself that you think that you've arrived, that you're that you know more than anyone else, or that guy's dumb. You know, I know better than that. Well, yeah, I've known athletes that thought that of their coaches too. Yeah, well, my coach is dumb. Well, the truth is, yeah, you had some knowledge, but you were relying upon that knowledge so much that you wouldn't open yourself up to more knowledge, which would made you an even better player. You know, so we can see that in athletics. We can see that in science and in any industry, any place that there's some sort of knowledge. We never get to the place that we can't learn something. And if you already think that, well, I'm already there, you know, I'm successful and I can't learn anything new because I already know it all. Well, you know, that's when businesses fall. Yeah, businesses go bankrupt because they already knew it all, but things are changing and you have to adapt to new things. You know, society changes. We have to be able to adapt to society. Even if you're a Christian, you know, society has changed, so we have to adapt to that society if we want to spread the gospel to it. You know, what was a great way to spread the gospel maybe 50 years ago may not be the greatest way to spread the gospel today. Of course, always the best way is that one-on-one contact. You know, you befriending someone, you becoming a friend, you showing them what Christ is like. But, you know, there's other ways besides that's what we was talking about. But, you know, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. You know, even if you think you know something, and you know, and someone is sort of hindered by, you know, they don't want to do something because, you know, they believe one sort of way. Well, love them. You know, love through that, even though you may think that's permissible. You know, and I know I guess I'm getting old because I know a lot of people seen different things, but I once knew some people. I still know them, but I don't, not around them as much as I was at one particular time in my life. And they believe certain things, you know, I don't doubt their Christianity, but they believe certain things in their Christian walk, you know, that they were free to do this and free to do that, which is fine. But they sort of wanted to make fun of people that didn't believe just necessarily the way that they did. If somebody thought something was a sin that they thought it was okay for them to do, then they would kind of purposely flaunt that in front of that person, you know, just to get a reaction on them and say, well, I guess they're thinking, you know, once again, knowledge puffs them up. They think that they're better than that other person. You know, that's not right. That's not good. You know, that's not what it is all about, is it? Yeah, going on here in section two, or verse two, you know, so in verse one, you know, it's telling us knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And it says, and if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. Oh, so if you think you already know everything, you don't really know everything. You don't know things as they really ought to be. It says, but if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. That's verse three. Yeah. If anyone knows God, this one is known by him. You know, that's the key. You know, you can have all the knowledge in the world, and if you don't know God, you're stupid, so to speak. Forgive my bluntness. But you're missing the boat, okay? God loves you. We still love you, but you're ignorant. You're ignorant of God. You're ignorant of God's blessing. You don't really know as much as what you think you know, okay? But if we put if we love God first, then all this other knowledge will fall in place. Okay? If you love God, even though you may not have a lot of knowledge, you're going to treat people right. You know, you're going to try to live right. And if you love God, you may be highly educated, but you're still going to treat people right. So there's a common denominator there. You know, real wisdom that we talked about to start with, you know, it starts by having a love of God. You know, that's the key. You have to seek God. You have to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And then if you do that, as you gain this other knowledge, then you develop wisdom because you've got the basis of wisdom, which is loving God. You know, if you don't love God, yeah, you can gain all this knowledge, you know, world knowledge, you know, and people can do some great things with that knowledge. But man, could they have done a whole lot more? Could they have been a whole lot more effective if they'd accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in their life and acted through that love? I think so. We'll take a brief break here. and then we'll come back and cover the rest of that chapter.
We hope you are enjoying today's show. We believe that God has given us a voice to impact communities and regions all over the world. If you would like to make sure that voice is heard, please partner with us today by visiting www.expressionradio.org and click donate. You can also text give by texting the dollar amount followed by the word radio to the number 84321. First-time text givers, please choose Expression Church of Huntington when prompted. All gifts are tax deductible. Join us as we change the world.
Welcome back. You know, we've been talking about love edifies. You know, love builds up people. But, knowledge, you know, if we get puffed up with our own knowledge, that's not a good thing. You know, if you puff something up, it's really empty. It's just got a lot of air in it. Now think about that. So if you start getting puffed up about something, about your own knowledge or how good you are, then you're just getting full of yourself. You're getting full of air. You know, and something that's full of air, you know, you can take a little pen and prick it, you know, pop it, and all that air is going to come out and it's going to deflate. So let's don't get deflated, you know, don't puff yourself up to start with. There was a comment as I was studying over this. I read through several commentaries, but there was a comment in the Matthew Henry commentary that sort of caught my attention. It said, "And those who think that they know anything and grow vain thereon are the least likely to make good use of their knowledge." So those that think they already know everything, you know, what are they doing? They're embellishing. They're living in their own vain glory, so to speak. You know, look how smart I am. You know, look how good I am. You know, so they're living through their own vain glory. But it says that they are the least likely to make good use of their knowledge. You know, if you stay humble unto the Lord, then you can use that knowledge, not to, just to benefit you, but to benefit mankind as well. Yeah, so if you love God, you know, if you love God, then you have to love man. And then that means that you're going to build up, you're going to edify your fellow man. You know, selfish thoughts, self-indulgence, that's even in the liberties of God, you know, we need to refrain ourselves sometimes and not be self-indulgent. You know, we see that Satan's out to hurt all that he can. And sometimes he uses good people to hurt people. I can remember talking with a good friend a few years ago, and he had been an associate pastor at a fairly decent sized church, and within an hour's drive, you know, one way or another of Huntington, and you know, he's a elderly man, you know, up in his 70s, I guess, at that time. And he was telling me that, you know, this young man, you know, he was helping to mentor, you know, somebody that had a young convert, you know, a hardworking guy. And he wanted to serve God, you know, he loved God, wants to serve him with all his heart. And so he was coming to church on Wednesday night, but, you know, I think he was self-employed, if I remember correctly. But anyway, he's working and, you know, he's laboring And so he's quitting work and, you know, coming directly to church and doesn't have time to get cleaned up and stuff. And so he's coming in, you know, a little bit dirty, a little bit gritty, but, you know, he's coming to church. That's the main thing. He's coming to church on Wednesday night. Well, one of the elder brothers of that church made a comment to him, and I guess was sort of jumping on him a little bit, saying, you shouldn't be coming to church looking like that. You know, you ought to clean up before you come to church and stuff. And so to that young man's credit, you know, he didn't say anything. He took it. But then he went to this my friend, and who helps mentor him, and he was talking to him, and he said, "Well, brother so and so told me, I need to get cleaned up and stuff before I come to church. Not come to church like this, I'm dishonoring God and stuff." Now, I believe that we ought to get cleaned up a little bit, wash your face and stuff. But this guy's leaving work to get to church. Okay, it's not like got up on Sunday morning and just didn't clean up any and came on to church. He is working. He's trying to feed his family, and so my friend told him, "Well, hey, look. Brother so and so shouldn't have said that to you, but maybe you can meet him halfway here. Just keep a clean shirt, in your car, in your truck, and just when you get to church, just change shirts." And so that sort of solved the whole problem. Now the older gentleman that sort of jumped on him, that wasn't really in love, was it? That was sort of in being dogmatic, being religious, not, he might have had a knowledge of, his knowledge base was, he's of that mindset, which isn't necessarily wrong, that, you ought to get cleaned up, you ought to, wear your best, to church, come to church looking good, to because you are worshiping God, you're entering God's house. So that's his perspective that he's coming from. But, he let that head knowledge, so to speak, affect his heart, his love for this new convert that was saved at the church there, and he is making efforts to get there on Wednesday night, but he sort of pushes all that down, to go back to that head knowledge stuff. We need to listen to our spiritual heart. Not our physical heart, not our emotional heart, but our spiritual heart, that the Holy Spirit living within us, to act on love. He could have went to, if that was bothering him, he could have went to him and say, hey, brother, tell you what, can you at least bring a clean shirt when you come? He could have told him that. But really, it wasn't for that. It wasn't for the brother that was coming. It wasn't for his benefit. It was for the guy's benefit that said that, right? So, but this guy said, "Okay, I'll bring a shirt," because here is a young convert not wanting to be a stumbling block to a guy that's been in the church forever and ever and ever. Now, that speaks volumes, if you think about it. We don't want to be a stumbling block to our brothers, to our fellow man. So act on love, because whatever knowledge that we have, it's not complete. It's incomplete. And if we think we already know it all, then we have really missed the boat. Verse 4 here says, "Therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, We know that an idol is nothing in the world and that there's no other God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, little g, whether in heaven or in earth, as there are many gods, little g again, and many lords, says, yet for us there is one God, you know, with the capital G, you know, there's one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all things, and through whom we live. So what they're saying is, hey, yeah, this food that's been offered to these idols, well, look, we know that that's not God. We know that there's no gods except God, you know, the Lord, Jesus Christ, you know, who made everything, and we live because of him. We live through him. So it's okay for us to eat this meat, is what they were saying. But verse 7 says, however, there is not in everyone that knowledge. Not everyone has that knowledge. You know, remember, some people are new converts here, and maybe they worshipped at that pagan temple before, and they took their animals and sacrificed it. And so to them, that might still be part, oh, wait a minute, I'm eating of that sacrifice to that other god. And so, you know, that can be a detrimental to them. You know, so says, for some with the consciousness of the idol until now eat it as a thing offered to the idol. And, you know, so that, you know, you might buy your meat and go ahead and eat it and not think anything about it because you know that there's just one God. And so if they offered it to this false god, it doesn't really mean anything. But to this other person, then to them, eating it means that it was offered to this other god. And because their conscious being weak is defiled. It says, but food does not commend us to God, for neither if we eat, or we are the better, or if we do not eat, we are the worse. But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to those who are weak. Yeah. So there's a lot of things that we can do. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot. For example, okay, some people think it's a sin to smoke. Some people don't. They say, well, it's a sin to smoke because you're defiling, you know, your temple, you know, the Holy Ghost living within you, and so you're defiling your temple, and so it's a sin to smoke. Well, does that mean if you think that it's not a sin to smoke, should you smoke and blow smoke in their face? Oh, look, I'm smoking. It's okay to smoke. No. Yeah. You know, let's act in love. You know, the world is, the world doesn't have a whole lot of love, okay? There is no real love without the love of Christ. You know, that's where love springs from. Love, God shows us love. Love is sacrificial. Did God sacrifice himself? Did Jesus sacrifice himself on the cross for us? So maybe, even though we think something is okay, you know, maybe we shouldn't do it at certain times, you know, if we know it's going to not be received well by some people. So just some food for thought. So till next time, this is your host, Larry Bryant, with Truth Talk.
We hope you are enjoying today's show. We believe that God has given us a voice to impact communities and regions all over the world. If you would like to make sure that voice is heard, please partner with us today by visiting www.expressionradio.org and click donate. You can also text give by texting the dollar amount followed by the word radio to the number 84321. First-time text givers, please choose Expression Church of Huntington when prompted. All gifts are tax deductible. Join us as we change the world.